بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نوية الأربعين، نوية الاعتكاف، نوية الخلوة، نوية العزلة، نوية الرياضة، نوية السلوك لله تعالى العظيم. أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. This subject is very important that we discuss it, and I hope that we will understand it, and I hope we will act on it. There are four different people that do services for Muslims, which are the main services that they need the help of these four different groups. First is the Imam, which leads the prayers or leads anything. And the Imam in reality has a lot of responsibility. And that's why many people, many ulama or pious people never like to be, to stand Imam, never like to be called Imam, never like to lead the prayer. Because all the responsibility of the people or people who are behind them praying, they carry the responsibility and of those people. So if the mind or if the heart of that Imam goes little bit here or there astray, he will be questioned, he will be asked, he will be responsible. One time, Bahlul, in the time of Harun al-Rashid, was praying behind an Imam. There were many in that big mosque, thousands of people in Baghdad are praying, and the Imam standing in front and saying, Allahu Akbar. As soon as he said Allahu Akbar, Bahlul took his shoes and ran away. Bahlul is a big wali, is a big pious person. I don't want to say what he did because it's taped. So he took his shoes and he left the prayer. That is not accepted Islamically. Sharia wise, cannot do that. When the Imam say Allahu Akbar, you have to follow. But there are some pious people that they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them sense of humor in order to keep the softness and the happiness in the heart of people and teach them lessons without being rude to them. So when he went, the Imam continued praying and everyone prayed. At the end, he was sitting by himself. They came and asked him, Ya Abahlul, why you left the prayer? He said, ask the Imam. And the Imam said, what's going on? Why you have left the prayer? When I say Allahu Akbar, you left the prayer. This is haram. He said, do you want me to say or I keep quiet? He said, no, well, what's going on? He said, do you want me to say when you said Allahu Akbar, what you were thinking about? He said, no. And now those who were praying, you know, they like that. So they said, no, no, say, we want to hear. He said, no, until he gives me permission. So now, the Imam also, he was making istighfar. He said, Ya Bahlul, never mind, you say, I have to admit that I made a mistake. And he said, okay. When you said Allahu Akbar, immediately your heart went to the wife of your neighbor. And you were thinking about the wife of your neighbor. So how am I going to pray behind an Imam who said Allahu Akbar and he is doing zina in the salah? He said, Sadaqt ya Bahlul. It's correct. I'm sorry. Astaghfirullah. So, I'm bringing that example to say that the problem is that the Imam is, don't be happy to be Imam. Don't be happy to be someone. Always, if you hide yourself, if you humble yourself, is better than to raise yourself and to be arrogant, to make yourself, you are teaching everyone, and when you know nothing. That Imam has this responsibility. Second is the one that he dig the graves, or the one who wash the body. What you call that person? Whatever. Wash the body and dig the grave and put the dead there. Undertaker. So he carry every difficulties of these dead people. Whatever they have of difficulty, when he wash them the last wash, all that difficulty goes on him. When he put them down in the grave, all that difficulty comes on him. There was a cemetery, there is a cemetery in North Lebanon, which Maulana Sheikh Nazim likes it a lot. He said a lot of awliya are buried there. And now buried there one person who died in the 80s. His name is Sheikh Ahmad Sayyadi from the Rufa'i Tariqah. His murid wants to bury him in a cemetery which is outside the city, the Abu Samra in North Lebanon. And they have to go up the hill and go far, might be 45 minutes from from the cemetery which is downtown the North Lebanon, Tripoli, which is called Bab al-Ramah. They decided to bury him there. So they called me and called my brother. I said, no. I think because Sheikh Ahmad Sayyadi lives in that area and his house is in that area, it's better to bury him in that area, which is downtown Tripoli in Lebanon. So they refused. They want to bury him in that far place, which is called Abu Samra. So Sheikh Ahmad Sayyadi, when he died, passed away, it was a war in Lebanon. And the Syrian army was in Lebanon, and they were preserving the peace. So no one can, even at that time, you were not able to go out on the street to have 100 people together. It's not allowed because there is war. When he died, more than 150,000 Muslims went into was behind his funeral. The whole city was closed. Hundreds, thousands of people. So when they were carrying the coffin and walking, and they were walking, so the cemetery of Bab al-Ramal, which is downtown, let's say like here, and the cemetery that it is in the other area, 45 minutes from the city, it's there. So in the same way, they have to pass nearly in between the cemetery of downtown and cemetery of up the hill. So as they were going, so they were, the coffin was, you cannot carry because it was above hand. It's like flying. So as they reached the intersection that they have to go up to the hill, the coffin doesn't move. They push the coffin doesn't move. They push the coffin, I was there, coffin doesn't move. And as they push there, the coffin turns back. No way they were able to take his funeral up the hill, the coffin goes back, towards back the city. Then they realized that there is no way to take him up. So they took him back, it goes. Until they reached a masjid in Bab al-Ramal, masjid, big masjid there, they made it after Sheikh Ahmad Sayyadi now. And they buried him by the road, always as if he is looking at everyone passing every day. So what I am bringing this story is that one who is responsible undertaker for that cemetery, after they buried him and so on, he came and after 2-3 months, Maulana Sheikh Nazim came to Lebanon and he was telling him, Ya Sheikh Nazim, I, subhanAllah, whenever I open that cemetery, sometime, he was telling what he used to see. I used to open graves for people and I see the coffin is same, even buried 10 years ago.
that person is still the same.
I open another grave for other people they want to bury on top of it. I find snakes inside, or I find the dead body is burned as if punishment coming. And he said one time when I was opening a grave, and in that grave I saw a snake eating the leg of a dead body and jumping on me. So that is a description how much the undertaker carry burden and carry difficulties from the grave of different people that they are buried there. So the imam and the undertaker, when they want in the judgment day, Allah send them to paradise. Before them, another two group goes first. Is the one who called the azan, and the one who clean the bathroom or clean the masjid. These two goes before, yani khadimul masjid, the servant of the mosque who keep the masjid always clean, and the muadzin. His neck will be the tallest in judgment day. They go first. I'm bringing that is in order to say that it is not shame to be a person that if we see the masjid not clean, to clean it. It doesn't need a schedule. It does not need a committee. It doesn't need a meeting to make it possible to keep the masjid clean. Anyone can come, take a broom and clean a masjid. Anyone can come, open the bathroom, he's doing it for Allah. People saw him or they didn't see him. Keep the masjid clean. He's not going to have a schedule and bring a janitorial clause and write this one this day, that one that day, that one that day. For what? Are we coming here for discipline, or are we coming here for not discipline? What is the problem if I see the masjid is dirty, go and take a broom or mop and clean it? Is there any problem, any difficulty? And the khadim al-masjid, the one who looks after the masjid, goes first to paradise. Not the imam. So don't be happy to be an imam. No. Be happy to be servant for the masjid, making service for the masjid. I'm surprised I'm not seeing anyone taking a mop and mopping the masjid. I saw him 2 weeks ago. I asked him, why you are mopping the masjid? You are responsible for inside. Why you are doing outside? He said, no problem. I saw it dirty, I'm cleaning it. I was happy with him. It's not something to humiliate people. Nurjan, last time I saw him mopping the masjid. It's no problem. So it doesn't need a committee, it doesn't need a schedule, it doesn't need anything. You like to do it, you will be rewarded. You don't like to do it, you don't do it. We don't need it. Allah will send someone to do it. This is إِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. Masajid is for Allah. Allah will send someone, you don't know him, take a broom and clean. We are not going to ask and beg and kiss hands of people to clean the masjid. إِنَّ لِلْبَيْتِ رَبٌّ يَحْمِيهِ. There is for the house, when Abraha came with his army elephants, want to destroy the Kaaba, the grandfather of Prophet ﷺ said, there is a Lord, Rabb, that owns this house, he will protect it. So Allah will send someone that has no in his heart anything, comes and clean. And we are not going to ask anyone to clean. from now on. I don't want to ask anyone, no schedule. If I see a schedule, I'm going to throw it. Either they do it from sincerity or no need to do it completely. Let it be dirty. Allah will send someone to clean. And I'm going to check. Becoming everything in this Western civilization becoming like a robot. If you don't make plans, you don't make schedule, you don't make this.
Go to Afghanistan, see how they are cleaning, massaging there.
Go to Uzbekistan, see how he was taking wudu, Nurjan there. With stones. One bucket of stones, clean. One bucket of dirty stones. So take three stones, clean yourself, throw them in the dirty buckets. There is no water, there is nothing. There is no Western restroom. There is nothing. People happy. They are happy. Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbi. We are very thankful for you. They eat little bit bread. Ya Rabbi, thank you. They're happy. Here, subhanAllah, Allah gives everything. People are not happy. Still, we have nothing. May Allah forgive us.